The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefer, and this is episode number 179. Super excited to have a good friend of mine with us today, Mickey Moradi up at Ohio State. Mick and I go way back in this profession. He's one of the guys that I credit as a huge mentor to me. When I first got in the business, he was one of the guys that I wanted to model my career after, and so I reached out to him. He was awesome about getting back to me and just being open and honest and giving advice and just one of the all-time best in the profession. And so this show's been a long time coming. We've been wanting to get him on. The schedules and whatnot have been difficult to do, but I was able to get up there, visit him and his staff on campus and get a workout session in, watch them train, see how they interact. We've known each other for a long time, but to even see him work is fun to watch, man. So I'm real, real excited to have you guys listen to him. Every time I talk to him, I walk away a better coach, and I know you're going to get a ton out of this episode. Also, just got back from China. Had an incredible experience and trip over there. Got to speak at the China Health and Performance Clinic. And and then obviously do some sightseeing and some things like that. Got to speak with some great coaches, great people. Michael Johnson was, kicked it off with the keynote, and just a fantastic conference. Mr. Wong with Better Ready and Dr. Liu with the Chinese Olympic Committee. Thank them so much for inviting me over to speak and hosting a first class event. And so, just one of those bucket list things. Go over to China, got to climb on the Great Wall. My wife was able to go, got to represent Play, and just a great experience. And leave this week to go to Australia to go speak at the ASCA National Conference down in Melbourne, Australia. So, looking forward to seeing a lot of friends on the other side of the pond. A lot of people that have listened to the show, if you're going, please come up to me, introduce yourself. I'd love to talk to you as we make our way over that way as well. And so, before we get started here, I want to recognize our sponsor, Ignition APG. As you guys know, it's a performance company based in Cincinnati, Ohio. They have, several different types of areas that they're in. They're in supplement area. Their parent company is Prasco Labs, pharmaceutical company, and so they have a great protein powder. But they have obviously their training, where they work with elite athletes down to high school and youth athletes, and then they have their speed certification. They're coming out with a strength certification as well, and just a company that does it the right way. They focus on the mind, body, and spirit, which is what I'm all about. They've been a great partner in this and just an example of how it should be done, in my opinion. And I can't say enough great things about them. Make sure you're following them on social media. They always post some inspiring, some great things. Check them out if you're ever in the Cincinnati area, and just first-class group of people all the way around. Sit back, enjoy this episode with Mick, and I'll see you on the other side. All right, guys. Hey, real excited to have a great friend of mine, a guy that I've known for a lot of years. This is probably, 3 years in the making, me trying to get you on this show.
Yeah.
Finally had to come here and put a camera right in front of him to get it done. But one of the most influential coaches in my career, a guy that we go back to Notre Dame days. I just got into South Florida, 23-year-old head strength coach. Mickey was a 23-year-old head strength coach at Cincinnati at one point.
and just a guy that I try to model my career after. And so I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Appreciate it. Good to have you.
No, man, I freaking love you like a brother. Mick, you know, I usually ask, you know, in these things, you know, your journey, why you got into it and all that. I mean, people that, you know, you're out there, everybody knows who you are, but I want to change things up. I want to ask, why did you stay in coaching? I mean, what motivates you each and every day to wake up? We were here at 5:30 this morning. What motivates you to be here at 5:30, freaking guns a-blazing, ready to go, and in your, what's this, probably 29th year of coaching?
Yeah. Well, I can lie to you and tell you that it's all about, you know, my passion to be a coach, and I just don't know. I don't know how to do anything else.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I do it for the right reasons. It's I tell recruits all the time. I say this is my life. This is my world. I don't know how to fix a car. I don't know how to, you know, change your electricity, things that happen at home. I don't know how to do that stuff. This is all I've known ever since I got out of college.
Right.
This is my whole world. This is our family's world. You know, the one thing about college coaching, it's not a job. It's not a profession. It's really more like it's a lifestyle. Like your family has to be bought into it, or it's not going to work.
No doubt.
It's not going to work.
100%.
And obviously the passion of teaching young student athletes, you know, about training and performance and recovery and leadership and, you know, how to grow up and mature and all those things are, you know, I just love seeing. And my favorite part of the job is when you see that, really now it's like 15, 16-year-old kid that you're recruiting, mm-hmm. and then they come to your school and you see them when they leave at 21, or in our case, sometimes 20, 20, right. 21, 22, and you see how they've matured, how they've grown, how they've increased, you know, their physical capacity, their mental capacity, their all those things. It's just, I mean, it's just a great feeling. Forget about the sport, just in general as a human being, see them grow. I mean, it's as satisfying as there is.
No doubt. No doubt. I always joke with my wife. I mean, my wife is the one that fixes things at the house. I just wanted to wear gym shorts all day long.
Yeah,
No, I agree with you, man. We're all in it for the right reasons, and everybody that's watching this feels the same way. If you're not in this business because you want to make an impact on young people, then you're not going to last very long.
No,
it's just too hard that way, you know. And I mean, it's awesome to see how you've made an impact on the players that you've coached and the journey that you've taken these guys on. And through that, I mean, as a 23-year-old head strength coach, you know, and through your career, we all make mistakes. You know, we made probably 10 today even, you know. But what was probably the biggest mistake that you made and kind of how you learned from it?
You know, thinking back, as soon as I got out of college, and I actually was a graduate assistant back, you know, 1987 here, and then I kind of went on my journey, but my whole world was to become a head strength coach. I mean, that was it. And everything I could do, every clinic, every book, back then there wasn't really podcasts and things like that, but it was any information, anybody I could talk to, I just wanted to learn. I just craved knowledge. And it was all to become a head strength coach. And once I had that opportunity in Cincinnati, that was my whole world. I mean, obviously my family and my work. And I tell you, it's an astronomical amount of mistakes on the floor, an astronomical amount of mistakes, program design and just coaching. But I think one of the biggest mistakes I ever made was I didn't step away from that job and catch my breath,
great,
recharge, vacation. I didn't take a vacation for the first, until I got to Notre Dame, was my first family vacation.
7 years was the first time I took one.
Yeah, it would have been 1998 was my first, 99, 8 years. Eight years until my first family vacation.
Yeah, now, you wear that like a badge of honor then, but now you look back on it and you think about how stupid it was.
I mean, I thought I was, you know, I'd get there at 5:30 or 5 a.m. and I wouldn't leave till 8, and this is my room and, you know, this is my deal. And
it wouldn't run without you. That's how I always felt.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, but back then it was a little bit different. There was no assistance. There was no.
Yeah.
I mean, I was by myself. I remember I started that job at Cincinnati. I was 230 pounds. within 6 months, I was 197. Because you're just, you know how it is.
You go.
Lunch, yeah. I didn't sit down and eat lunch until I got to Florida.
Right.
Just because of, you know, it just, everything changed and you just kind of change with it. But I think one of the biggest mistakes, and I always tell my guys, you know, you're not going to impress me. You're not going to impress any coach by sitting here like, because you think you need to be here. When the work is done and everything's over and the room is clean and secure, time to go home and recharge and rest. And just like we tell our players.
Right.
Rest, recuperate, rejuvenate, and let's go.
Right.
And then you get it going the next day.
Well, that way you come back the next day and you're ready to bring it your all.
Yeah, because at some point fatigue's going to sit out. And you're going to be cheating those athletes.
Well, I think, you know, and this is something that we share. I mean, you're a great family man. I mean, I'm looking all over your office right now. There's pictures everywhere. But you would probably, just like me, I mean, it was probably skewed, you know, early in my career. I mean, it was, like, I wasn't the husband I should have been early. I probably wasn't the father I wanted to be early. How have you been able to balance, you know, and what advice would you go back to give, you know, 23-year-old Mickey about how to balance the whole thing?
You know, it's just... Just like you said, you know, the room, the program's going to run without, you know, you do a good job, it's going to run without you. That doesn't mean you're going to take advantage of the situation. I just think you got to any of those times where, you know, you could bring your kids in on a Saturday morning where all you're doing is paperwork or computer work, and you just have them part of your world and your life, your work life. I just think it's so much healthier. It's so much easier. It's, you know, obviously, anytime we had recruiting dinners or those things, my family was always with me. They were always there. My wife is there. You know, it's almost like I always kid her, you know, it's kind of our free date out. You know, you go sit out and you're eating and you're talking to people. It's a great meal. Usually eating a meal back then, you didn't really afford. So, and then you just make them a part of it. And they are, man. They buy right in. And, you know, the good thing for me is, you know, the places that I've been and the stops that I've made, every head coach, every athletic director, it's always been family-based. And family's the most important thing in my life, without a doubt.
No doubt.
And if you can bring that number one, you know, part of your life into your profession, into your world, into your work world, I mean, it's just so much healthier for everybody, and it's a part of it. Now, here at Ohio State, for God's sakes, my son has worked with me for 5 years. He walks by. Hey, Coach Mick, how you doing? And that's it. I mean, that's our conversation for the day. And I'm good with that. But I see him every day. And
that's awesome.
It's great. My daughter's here playing softball. So it's kind of.
It's all come full circle.
Yeah, it's really neat. And,
I think that's the biggest thing. I think, you know, so people on the outside, they look at what we do. And there's no doubt there's a sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
There's the time and there's this, that, and the other that's taken away. But coaches' kids are typically pretty cool kids, you know, and they get the opportunity to witness, be around things that a lot of people don't, most of which is being around a diverse population of people and learning how to treat people the right way and how you should interact and accountability and all the things that go in. And it's just like we were talking about earlier with leadership with your players. I mean, it's a microcosm of life. I mean, this, you know, this weight room, when you walk in, it's a microcosm.
It
you
is.
Know? And you learn a lot of those lessons, and I'm sure they bleed over into your family life just like they bleed over into your coaches. And it kind of leads into the next thing. You know, when you don't step away as a manager, when you don't give your staff some autonomy, then, you know, I mean, you're only one person. You can't see everything, and you're not doing a very good job of developing people. And that's most of the time, that's the problem with strength coaches, is they're great technicians. I mean, they can go out there and coach all day, and they're the best coach on the floor. But you just can't do it all, and so you have to empower other people, and that was one of my biggest challenges, you know, as a coach, is I wanted to hire a bunch of me. Well, I couldn't always have a bunch of me. I needed a good balance. I needed people that balanced me out, and I needed to be able to lead them, you know. And you've done a great job. I mean, I watched a couple training sessions this morning, and just how you set up your room where you give your guys some autonomy. Talk about a little bit about your structure and kind of what you look for in a staff.
Yeah, that, you know, funny you say that. That was, you know, probably in my work profession, the biggest mistake I made was I try to, you know, run the whole thing and really didn't give the young staff or a part of your staff, you know, back in the day, there wasn't much of a staff,
right.
Zero ownership. And that's not right. They'll never grow. They'll never grow like that. It wasn't until I got to Notre Dame where I really, said, you know, you can't do this by yourself, and you've got great assistance. And I think the biggest thing that I looked for, or I've looked for through the years, is number one, ones that have passion. They got to have passion about what they're doing. They can't be in it for the wrong reasons. They got to be in it for the right reasons. I think number two is energy. They've got to be someone that has energy because, you know, we coach all the time demeanor and energy and, you know, being positive and having some enthusiasm, some juice that we call it. Mm-hmm. Got to have that. And as a coach, if you're not bringing it like that every day, you know, I don't want a bunch of me's,
right.
But I want different personalities that can relate to different types of personalities on our team or the teams that you're working with. But, you know, you have to have energy, passion, and the ability to learn and continue to learn, which, you know, this is another one that I've learned over the years. It's one of my virtues, Coach Mick's virtues. You got to become a great listener.
Yeah.
You can't just always be talker.
Sure.
You've got to be a listener. And I've learned over the last 10 to 15 years really to listen to people and listen to coaches, listen to athletes, listen to administrators. And because I'm a type A, you know, I got to be in charge of everything.
Absolutely.
Really learned that over the past couple of years.
You know, with that comes the opportunity for coaches maybe not to live up to some of those standards, you know. And so as a manager, you know, I mean, early on, early Mick, early Mac, you know, I've fired a staff member for not coming in during a hurricane before. I mean, how stupid is that? You know, but how have you evolved to where, and what strategies would you recommend for other head strength coaches that are just getting the opportunity to lead people, to hold their people accountable? Because sometimes that's, I mean, the art of having a difficult conversation, it's a lost art in a lot of respects. You know, how do you go about directly kind of holding your staff accountable to your standards?
Well, I think number one, they've got to know the expectations of you and the program that you're working with, number one. And the policies and procedures have to be discussed ad nauseum. This is how we're doing it. And it's a continuum of coaching nonstop. It's no different than any other thing you do in your life, anything you do in your profession. You know, our head coach does the same thing with our assistant coaches. You have to coach the coaches.
Right.
And I think that's one area that people don't do a great job with. It's kind of like, here's the program, you go do this, you do this station, and that's it. But you've got to coach the coaches, and you've got to give them ownership. Because when they have ownership, I want my assistants to drive home at night, mm-hmm. whatever, to turn the radio down and really think about things that I would be thinking about,
right.
Worrying about the things that I'm going to worry about that night. You know, this guy tweaked a hamstring during a team run. Oh my God, why did that happen?
Right.
Why? How? What didn't we do? What did we do? What should we have done this? What
could we done better? Yeah, absolutely.
That's. I want them to feel the same way. So right. I've kind of give over the years. I've given a little bit more responsibility, ownership, if you will, to the staff. And I mean, they take it and run with it now. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great point. I think that's something that I would always say with my staffs is that, you know, it is completely different sitting in this chair than it is as an assistant. You know, and not until you become a head strength coach do you really understand what the job is, because you're not, until you're the final point for accountability, until you're the final point for creating the culture and the structure of the program, and you're that last point. You know, as an assistant, you can always be like, that's Mick, or that's Mac, or that's whoever. When it becomes you, and the buck stops with you, that's when it's different, you know? And the sooner, as a young coach, you put yourself in a position to act like a head strength coach, mm-hmm. you know, that's when your career is going to take off, I think, all the way around. You walk around the building, you walk around the weight room, and you see nothing but coaching that culture,
mm-hmm.
you know, phrases, you know, reward systems, all those types of things. You guys, I mean, you're the master at that. It's one of the things that I've always respected the most about you. You know, talk about, you know, some of the strategies that you've used from a strength coach perspective and how you've kind of, you don't just, I mean, you're not confined to these four walls in this weight room. I mean, you're integrated throughout the entire mm-hmm. program.
Yeah, I think I'm in a unique situation with the relationship I have with the head coach. We've been together for a long time, and all we're doing in here in our facility and in our strength conditioning program is reinforcing the culture that was set from the head football coach in our football program. It's not a separate entity.
Sure.
Sometimes, and that goes with our athletic training department, and our sports nutrition, and our equipment. Everybody's on the same page, and everybody is pushing the same culture. Everybody's saying the same things. Everyone knows if a kid misses class. Everyone knows if someone has a sprained ankle. Everyone knows if someone's struggling at home. Everybody in our program knows it's a transparent program, and everybody knows, and everyone's saying the same thing. And my role here, just like you said, is not just the four walls of the weight room, it's to oversee the performance areas of our football program. And everyone is talking the same lingo. We're all talking the same language. It's not this and that, and this guy said this, and you've been in, you know, where you walk out the door and somebody's telling you something completely different, and the athlete's completely confused. Well, there's no confusion.
How is that possible? I mean, is it that you're meeting with them? Is it that there's just nothing but meetings all day long?
Well, no. I mean, the one thing we do is we hold our players accountable, as we do in every aspect of our program, in the athletic training room, just like in the weight room. So we have a system here. We call it the attitude and effort system, and we meet performance. Our performance team, and we meet once a week, and we talk about, obviously we know what's going on daily, but
sure.
Once a week, where I want everybody to hear what everyone's saying.
Yeah.
And our nutritionist will give our players an attitude and effort score, you know, about 1 through 10 or whatever it may be. Same thing with our athletic trainers, same thing with our strength coaches. And if it was a favorable number, then I want to know why. What was different this week than last week? I had a better attitude and whatever. And then the opposite, if it was a negative week where something didn't go well, I want to know why. And we've been able to squash some things. It could be as simple as going through the training table. Someone didn't want to really talk about vitamins and minerals that particular day, and they give our nutritionist a hard time.
Right.
Well, that was over on my way home.
Yeah,
next day, it's like, hey, Sean, how you doing? Let's talk about vegetables, and it's completely different. So that's what we try to stay on.
Well, I think, and we talked about this early off camera, but I mean that the key to that is the reinforcement, both positive and negative.
Yes.
You know, telling them exactly what was the action that they were doing that elicited that response. You know, and it's almost more important to reward the positive when they're doing the right things, you know, than it is the negative. And so many times as coaches, that's what we do, is we just harp on that. So the guys that are always doing right, they get lost in the shuffle a little bit, you know. Whereas if you're constantly rewarding those guys, recognizing those guys, it elevates, you know, to the standard. You know, that's the cool group, and not the cool group's not to be a dickhead, you know.
Yeah, and you can see, I've got a sign over my office that says the best players on the team have to be the best grinders, best workers, and. You know, sometimes you've been in programs where the best players weren't the best players or the best workers, and it was cool not to train hard. It was cool not to finish through the line. It was cool not to touch the line. It was cool not to be coached hard. You know, that got pushed out pretty quick. You know, and if a guy has that attitude as a freshman, you know, it's uncomfortable for him.
You came into a situation, I mean, obviously you guys have had lots of success here, but with that success comes guys leaving early, you know, senior, you know, the whole deal. I mean, you came back this year 6 or 7 returning starters because of because of just great talent, you know, and the whole deal. So you got a young team, you know, coaches that are out there right now might be dealing with something similar. What were some of the things that you identified that you needed to do with a young team to make sure that you had everybody going the right direction, they were ready to go for this season.
Yeah, that's a good point. What I do each year, again, I think this might help somebody out there. What I do each year is I look at, I'm not going to work on my off-season program like October 15th. You're wasting your time. What I do is during the season, as strength coaches, a lot of time, you have a lot of time.
Right.
I mean, when guys are in meetings, I mean, you do have a lot of time. So I try to, that's when I get the videos and internet and just kind of learn as much as I can. And then what I do is I look at each team at the end of the year. What was our strengths? What was our weaknesses? What was our opportunities? What was our threats? Kind of a SWOT analysis in business.
That's
and I do that. I do that after every year, and I look, okay, what could we have done better? What, you know, what was the dynamic of our team? What was the chemistry of our team? What was the dynamic of our leadership? You know, what was it in? I mean, what was, whatever it was, and everybody deals with different things. And then I say, okay, now what do we got coming back?
Right.
What's the team going to look like? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What are our opportunities? What are our threats? Where should this train be headed? And then when I do that, that's when we formulate kind of what our offseason is going to be and how we're going to approach it.
Well, you know, another thing that I've respected so much about you is that you're a lifelong learner. I mean, you talk about going way back to just clinics and reading and all those things, and that's never stopped for you. You know, it's just maybe evolved and changed to where it's more focused and intentional, you know. And so sending staff members out to get specialized training, you know, or you bringing people in to ask specific questions. At 29 years in the profession, you know, what words of encouragement would you have for young coaches to make sure that they're continually challenging themselves?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is if you don't have the opportunity to get out, because a lot of times young strength coaches are, I mean, they're busy now. They got busy schedules. Now there's so many tools to learn. You got to learn and go out and meet and network with people. And, you know, you have the national conferences. You have the clinics that are all over the place. You have, you know, obviously you could get your iPhone out and call and text. And you just have to reach out to people. And the cool thing about being a coach, you know, everybody's willing to share information. It's a sharing profession. But the more you learn, the more you're willing to learn, the more you are willing to keep pushing that edge, man. You just keep pushing that edge. How can we make it better? And the point comes in your career where you don't have that passion to make it better. You need to put your keys away and head on down the road and get another profession, you know, do something else. So that's kind of...
The great strength coaches, you know, guys like yourself, I mean, they'll recognize that passion in others that are wanting. You know, if you're just coming in and say, how do I bench more, then I'm going to tell you that, go to the internet and get out of here. But if you have sincere and you're asking intentional questions and you're asking the whys and really diving into it, then I'm going to be a little bit invested in you and try to help you along the way.
No question.
And when I see you at a conference, I'm going to maybe go out of my way to say something to you.
Exactly.
I know you've always been that way. We're in the middle of the season, and so Mick's got to get going here, but we end the show with some resources.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best piece of coaching advice you ever received?
Be humble. It's not because of you. It's in spite of you, and be humble. I don't know how else to say it. And I learned a hard lesson. Sometimes you think it was because of you or some great workout you had or great off season.
That's right.
And it's not. It's really not. You're just part of it. You're kind of part of that pizza pie, and you're just a slice. It could be a sliver of it, you know. And that's really the nowadays. You just be humble. Just be humble.
Mm-hmm. That was an old Mark Asanovich tactic. You know, he'd bring you in, and you're all excited about strength and conditioning, and he would say, draw a circle, and then out of that pie, tell me how much a strength and conditioning coach affects the wins, losses, you know. And so everybody drew strength and conditioning as a quarter of the pie, you know. But the reality is that all those things are kind of into a quarter of a pie, and then the genetics and you know, God-given ability really makes up the rest of it. But I agree with you, man. So important. What about some a book, app, or website recommendation that you have?
Yeah, we were talking. Last summer, finished that book, The Legacy, about the All Blacks, the rugby team in Australia.
New Zealand, yeah.
Oh, yeah, New Zealand. What am I talking about? Probably need to cut that out. in New Zealand, and the most successful sport team, professional, collegiate of all time, and how they ran their program and what their culture was about, because it was very similar to some of the things that we were trying to do. So it was very interesting from a aspect of, you know, a different sport, a different country, and kind of how they're doing and how it worked and how it was so successful. So,
winning, you know, the recipe for success and wins doesn't matter what side of the planet you're on or you know, what logo you put on your chest or whatever. It all comes down to some fundamental principles that are outlined really, really well in that book. Yeah. I agree with you, man. Well, brother, you know, this guy has been, he really has been like a brother to me. He's been a guy that's always opened his door to me. He's been an inspiration in a lot of ways. And I appreciate you having me.
Always welcome, brother. Appreciate it. Thanks.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.